Well, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been up here. We had Sam Gipp and Brother Serino in here. And while you turn to Luke chapter 11, give you a bit of a reminder of some of the stuff we've been talking about over the last two Sundays. We've been talking about prayer. And when we talk about prayer, there's a couple of things that we need to kind of understand and remember about prayer. Prayer is something that God has given to us for a reason. And every time God gives us something, He expects us to use it correctly. Amen? He has given us a human body, and He expects us to use it correctly. Amen? He has given us a church. He expects us to use it correctly. He has given us the Word of God. He expects us to use it and use it correctly. So the same thing goes with prayer. So in Luke chapter 11, and in this passage of Scripture, we see here that the disciples are asking a certain question. It says, it came to pass when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for what you have given to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we go through this, that we'll realize the importance of prayer, the importance of how we pray according to your will. And I thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with, including prayer, your word, this church, these believers, everything that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that we would be thankful, that we would be content, and that, Lord, we'd have a desire to please you, serve you, and show you the thing, or excuse me, show us, Lord, the things that you want us to understand this morning. And Lord, again, I thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your shed blood. And these things I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we've got, this is not our central verse this morning. The central verse is going to be found over in the book of Matthew chapter 6. And you can turn there, but what I want to show is that there is a specific way that the Lord said, this is how I want you to pray. This is how I want you to pray. Now, again, some people and some religions use some of the things known as the Lord's Prayer as a repetition for some sort of penance or something of that nature when you sin. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not a punishment, amen? Prayer is not something you do for penance. Prayer is something that you do when you want a relationship. Prayer is something that you do when you are desiring someone else. And this is truly what we see about our desire to have a relationship with our Savior. And what we look at this, you know, again, the lesson is built around this one central truth this morning. Biblical prayer is not an attempt to bend God's will to ours. Sometimes people get that messed up. It is God's means of bringing our hearts into submission to His will. And when we begin to understand that, your prayer life will change. There's been studies done about prayer, and I've asked people about prayer before, and things of that nature. And you get some really weird things that come out about prayer. You get some weird beliefs. You get some strange doctrines that are not biblical. You get all sorts of stuff that comes out when people truly do not get into the Word of God to understand what prayer is. And again, we're not trying to bend God and convince God that we need this. We're not trying to convince God that our plan is better than His. We're not trying to convince Him of anything of that nature, and we're not trying to do that. But what prayer does is it brings us to that point where we have to submit to His will. Amen. To submit to His will. And we have to, and again, when we study this, we have to be very careful here about exercising this. And so when we talk about this, and the title of the message, if I was going to give one, is Praying According to God's Will. But when we talk about praying according to God's will, it doesn't mean that we're going to somehow discover some secret will or some secret thing, you know, in some mystical type thing, okay? That's not what we're talking about. God wants us to pray with the mind and the heart that He has given to us. And that means looking at things from a logical perspective according to the Word of God. And having that influence our heart and having that be what we do. And Scripture gives us a great deal of God's will here. I've had people come up to me and say, well, I just don't know what God's will for my life is. And I go, I know. And they're like, wait, you do? You know what God's will for me is? I'm like, oh yeah, He told me. And they're like, really? Yeah. Well, what is it? Well, let me show you some Bible verses. And they're like, well, that's not what I mean. How about you do these first, and then God will show you what you need to do later. But more often than not, when somebody says, well, I want to pray according to God's will, it means I want to pray that God's will be my will. And that's not the way we pray. In Matthew chapter 6 here in verse 10 is one of the most powerful verses. It talks about, here he says, you know, praying. And this is how we go in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. You know, that's one of the most difficult things to pray when you think about it. Because when we often pray, what do we pray? Lord, do my will. Lord, may my will be done. That's often what we think. That's often how we pray. Well, I want this. Lord, I'm going to pray for this. Well, what if this is not what God wants you to have? What if He, instead of this, He wants you to have that? Well, I don't want that. I want this. Well, God says that. And we demand this. And we insist on this. And the worst thing that we could ever have happen is God goes, okay, you want that? You want this instead of that. This is better. Or I should say, that is better. This is okay. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we see here that the Lord very clearly says that this pattern of submission is praying, thy will be done. He's teaching His disciples to pray. He teaches them and says, this is how you need to pray. He's teaching these people how to pray. And He says, this is how you pray. This is, again, this is all taking place on the Sermon on the Mount, if you will. And He's talking about, this is how you need to pray these things. You need to pray that the Lord's will be done, not yours. Not yours. And the first and perhaps most important part of this in Christ's prayer is when you go back over to Luke chapter 22, verse 42, is when He prays in the garden at Gethsemane. He says, not my will, but thine be done. When He's praying about what He's about ready to face at the crucifixion. Now, we talked about Him being made flesh this morning, the Word being made flesh, and we realized, look, He still had that fleshly body, and He prayed, let this cup pass, but He said, in an example to us of what we are to believe and how we are to pray, He prayed and said, this, not thy, my will, but thine be done. And here He is, as fully man and fully God at the same time. He said, this is what I want done. Lord, I want your will done. Father, I want your will done. He submitted His flesh. You know, that's one of the most difficult things for a believer and a Christian to understand. Is submitting our flesh. Submitting our flesh to God and going, you take it. It's yours. Belongs to you anyways. Look, this body isn't even mine. It belongs to Him. This life I live is not even mine. It belongs to Him. Not my will be done, but thine. And there's an important distinction here that we have to look at. Here, Jesus is, he's not being reluctant to obey the Father, but what he's showing is he's submitting that human part of him to the Father's designed purpose. You know what happens often is we don't submit ourselves to God's designed and desired purpose. How God wants to use us. We're like, well, no, I'm going to choose how you use me, Lord. I'm going to choose the time. I'm going to choose the place. I'm going to choose the number of times that you get to use me. I'm going to... Really? I'd like to see the fine print on that contract.
I didn't get the memo.
That's not how it works. We don't get to dictate to God how those things are done. I foolishly did that once. I said, Lord, I am willing to submit to you. I'm willing to be whatever you want. Maybe a missionary, maybe an evangelist, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe whatever it is. But Lord, you know, and I know, and we know that's a bad idea. I cannot, and I will not be a pastor. Oh, really? And what does the Lord show me? It wasn't about you in the first place, dummy. And I begin to realize we have to submit ourselves, thy will be done, to his design. That's the important distinction that we see here. Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Take a look at Matthew chapter 26 here. Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to take a look here at verse 39. And in a parallel passage to the passage in Luke, it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Here we find all three of these verses, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 26, Luke chapter 22. What is this model that Christ is giving us? It is ultimately demonstrated by himself in the garden of submission. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And again, if we go back to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 22, Matthew chapter 6, and we see in Matthew chapter 6, what does he say? The next verse after that is, give us this day our daily bread. We need to make sure we're praying before we're at that, God, I want your will done before you even give me anything. Often the case, we pray, and we pray specifically, Lord, give me this. Oh, by the way, Lord, thank you for this. And oh, by the way, Lord, this is good. You know, we start telling them our plans, stuff like that. That's not how it works. That's not what God says here. Before we even pray. Look, there's nothing wrong with bringing our needs to the Lord, amen? There's nothing wrong with that. And Christ specifically commands us to do that. But one thing that I want us to realize is that God's will, God's glory, God, it comes before our own gratification. Many times it's like, Lord, I will glorify you and I will give you thanks when you gratify what I want. Now, we believe that God preserved his word for a reason, amen? We believe that he inspired it for a reason. God did not haphazardly put things together like we do. He didn't throw this together like some college student at midnight trying to submit his research paper. He put it together with a design, and he has a list together for a reason, in an order for a reason. Just like we talk about over there with the fruit of the Spirit. There's a reason why it starts with love, amen? And then moves to joy, and then moves to peace, and then moves to the rest. Why? Because the rest of them are very difficult to do without the love.
Amen.
But I will tell you this, the same thing is true here. When he says, look, this is how you pray, Obviously, you recognize that Jesus, that God Himself is holy. Hallowed be His name. We realize that. And then we say, Lord, I want Your will done. I want Your kingdom to come. But often is the case, we skip all that stuff and we go straight to the Lord. Give me my kingdom and Lord, give me my will, the desires of my will before you get anything. You know the whole concept of tithes and offerings, what that's about? Giving to God was His first. You didn't earn it. Like, well, I sure did. I broke my back doing it. Got a headache doing it. Sprained my wrist typing. Pulled my hamstring getting out of my chair to go get another cup of coffee. What, I mean, we're like, well, I earned it. No. Who gave you the ability to do it? I mean, each one of us has our own little area that we can do, right? I can't lay a brick for my life. Mike can. And then when Mike has some things, he's like, hey, can you help me with this contract? Why? Because I know that. We all have our certain things. But I say all of that to say this, is that we want the gratification of all of that before anything else. We want all of those things to come to us, and we don't acknowledge who it is that even gave us the ability to do the things in the first place. When's the last time we prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for giving me a mind that I can pray. Thank you for giving me a mouth that I can pray. Thank you for working in my heart that you're teaching me how to pray. Prayer is an important thing. There's a way that the Lord wants that done. And His glory is always going to precede whatever gratifies us. We should seek pleasing Him before we please us. And here's the amazing thing when we think about God's will. We can know it. God's will isn't some ethereal thing that floats out there that we can't get a hold of or anything of that nature. I don't know how to pray because I don't know what God's will is in the matter. Look it up. And half the time we pray wrong because we don't look it up. Because we don't know what to do. Because we don't understand those things. I mean, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I will tell you this. If you get a hold of the will of God and what the will of God is, according to Scripture, your life will be drastically different. Amen? It'll be drastically different. Here he is telling the church. He is telling the body of Christ right here in this book, this book, Ephesians, and he's saying right there, Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise. Well, what's a person that's not wise? A fool, according to Proverbs. But okay, let's just, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know what that means? You can understand it. You can understand it. I mean, look, we've all been faced with a choice. I'm faced with a choice recently about a job. I had two job offers, internal job offers, that was obviously the Lord was moving me and doing certain things. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I really, And I looked at them and I was like, Lord, I know this is you doing it. Because the jobs that I get, the Lord just kind of goes, here you go, you're doing this now. And I'm like, yes, sir. I'll do it to the best of my ability with you leading the way because I can't. And I'm like, what do I do? You know what I did? I look at the scriptures. I look at how the Lord is showing things. Why? Because I can understand what the will of the Lord is. You know what the first thing I do when I'm faced with that decision? Lord, thank you that number one, I even have a job. Number two, Lord, thank you that I have the ability to do the job that you gave me. Number three, Lord, thank you for even giving me these opportunities in the first place. Before I just go, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. And then I said, Lord, your will be done. Whichever one you choose. I had a preference. I had one that I really wanted. But I wanted the Lord to decide that. Not me. Not me. Romans 12. You should have that bookmarked by now. Should have like that burned into, the, you know how certain parts of your Bible, I've got an older Bible, I can tell areas where I've been. Ephesians, the edge is brown. Right where Romans is brown. From the fingerprints of, you know, oils on my fingerprints. Look, why? Because this is a critical thing. This is something that we need to get a hold of. There are principles in Scripture that once you get a hold of them, the rest of the stuff starts becoming more explained and understandable to you. And he says in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are able to prove what the will of God is, but you got to think right. According to the Word of God. Now, I point to my head because that's where we often are. But when I talk about think right, where should I be pointing? My heart. Because it is with the heart that we think. Not the gray matter up here. That's just an organ. But what's inside of us in our soul is that heart. And that is where the thoughts originate, as we've talked about time and time again. And here he's saying, look, you can see this. You can understand what the will of the Lord is, and then you can turn around and you can prove what that will, what his will is, not your will, not your design, not your plan, but his. And what happens? God reveals all of this. He reveals his will to us through his word. It's revealed through scripture. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And there's very distinct passages that we know. Psalm chapter 119. And what do we see here? In verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will give you the direction. It will show you where the will is. Take a look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Again, he says, look, many times we are simple. We have a simple understanding of something. When you're a child, you have a simple understanding of something. But you're supposed to mature as a Christian and become more understanding. I've told you that what I was as a child, I was a little peculiar kid. And all the kids are talking about, you know, Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney and stuff like that. They had a very childlike understanding of those things. And my understanding was a little different. My understanding was, no, my mom and dad are doing that. Besides, if somebody tries to come in, we don't have a chimney. And if they try to come into the back door, they're probably going to get shot. That's breaking and entering. Yes, I was a peculiar little child, okay? Like, so you just, you know, and then, you know, here I am destroying their dreams, right? I'm probably scarring them, giving them trauma for the rest of their life as a five-year-old. But, you know, isn't it true that the Lord's going to show us things and he's going to give us understanding from his word? It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Giveth understanding to the simple. Just when you get to the first part of the door, You remember the first time when you were reading your Bible and something was shown to you and you were like, look at that. We got excited about it. And it was like spoke to our heart, and we were getting, I mean, you had to like go, oh, somebody, look at that. We get excited about those things. That's just the entrance. What happens if we get past the entrance? You start understanding His will more and more. You start understanding His will more and more. So what do? You know, before we ask that, before we ask, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Before we ask to pray according to His will, it's not, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is what we need to ask. Lord, what have you already told me to do in your word that I'm probably not doing? Sometimes we want this new revelation. Sometimes we want some sort of secret will of God revealed to us, but we're not willing to even just go and say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I have no idea. But before we do that, it's like, Lord, how about you reveal to me, or we pray, you know, how about, Lord, reveal to me what it is you've already told me to do from your word. Show me. And the scriptures are very clear. It will show you. It will show you these things. I mean, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll give you some examples. This is why, again, when somebody comes up to me and says, I don't know what will God is for my life, and I'm like, I do. Why? Because it's right here in black and white. I guess they got this cool Bible now where it's black and white, but the page is black and the print is white. Kind of funky. It's kind of cool. But anyways, it's black and white. It might be red. You might have a blue font. Why? I don't know. But, you know, it's in print right in front of you. Amen? Take a look at what he says here in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is what? The will of who? Is it the will of Ken?
No.
Insert your name? No, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. This means we can know what the will of God is. And he says, this is it. We're like, oh, this is it. What is it? Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And everybody's like, eh, what? Now, I'll be very clear here. A lot of times we just go to the physical part of that. What was Israel doing with their spirituality? What did he refer to it as? They went a whoring after other gods. He referred to it like a sexual sin. And what happens is we start mixing stuff with other things that ought not be mixed. Bringing things into our spiritual life that ought not be there. And we do exactly this. Yes, there is a physical principle here, but they also cannot ignore the spiritual principle that he's teaching. Don't bring idols in. Don't bring your own will in. Don't bring your opinions, suppositions, and assumptions. Don't bring what you learned off the internet. Please, stay off the internet. But what does he say here? Our sanctification. This is what you need to do to sanctify. Now look, we're sanctified. We are set apart for a certain reason and purpose. And we go through this where we are continually seeking His holiness. Because we are set aside for His holy purpose. And when we realize this, he's saying, look, don't put something in there that ought not be there. Don't bring something else in that ought not be there. He says, this is the will of God. You know what? Let's just get kind of into a more realistic example here. You know, sometimes the prayer life, and this is something we really should not pray, is, Lord, help me find your will concerning this situation. Like, wait, shouldn't I? Don't pray that when you're directly disobeying something that God has already commanded you to do. Lord, help me find, you know, an example for this, or, you know, the answer for this situation. Help me find your will according to this when we're doing something that is completely against His will. God's will is not about helping me choose A and B. God's will is where it begins with making me more like Christ. That's what we need to be praying. You realize that that's what God's will for your life is? When's the last time that we got on our knees weeping and praying to God, Lord, I want to be more like You. Lord, I want to have that desire that You had. You realize that's what David was? Even with all his sins, even with all his very public mistakes that are now preserved. Aren't you glad that you're not in the Bible? I sure am. But you understand what I'm saying here is his desire is he was after God's heart. When's the last time we said, Lord, break my heart for You? Lord, it's not about me choosing this and that. It's about, Lord, I want to be what You are telling me I should be. Before I start deciding these situations, before I start trying to divine whatever it is that you think, you know, that I think that I need or whatever it is, I need to be praying that. I'll give you another example. Turn to the next chapter. Chapter 15. Chapter 15. By the way, we all know, you know, we've talked about Thessalonica. We've talked about what they were going through. They were getting persecuted when this letter was being written to them. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody called them a bad name. I'm talking about they were going through some serious persecution during this time. And you know what happened? Here he's saying, these are the things that you need to learn. These are the things that you need to understand. These are the things that are the will of God. Is first and foremost, you be careful what you're doing, careful what you're mixing things with. But here we go back to this, where he says, look, I want you to just be thankful. How about this? What does he say? Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what this means? This means it's not, Lord, I'll give You thanks when I understand what's going on. Lord, when You show me exactly why I'm going through what I'm going through. Lord, when You show me what it is exactly, I want it written in the sky, I want it in email, can You send it to me certified mail, you know, whatever it is, can I get it off Amazon? No. It's not give thanks, give, you know, I'll give You thanks when I understand. It's, I'm going to give thanks in everything. Even when I don't understand. You know, God's will can be obeyed when God's purposes are not fully explained and understood. Who's a perfect example? Abraham. Why are You having me leave my family? Why are You having me go somewhere else? Why are You pulling me from here over to there? Or why? And so many times, and look, again, it's not wrong to ask God why, okay? Let's just be clear. It's not wrong to ask God why. It's wrong to kind of demand an answer, though. But it's not wrong. He may show you. He may not. I always go back to Job. It's never said that Job was told what happened in heaven and the conversation between Lucifer and God. Elihu knew. because he's the one that wrote it. But it never says. God never explained it to him. God just asks him over 70 kind of rhetorical questions, trying to get him to understand, you don't understand, Job. But it's in everything we give thanks. They're going through persecution. Why is this happening? And we can try to explain it away. Well, the Lord said that we're all going to go through persecution. Yeah, but why did that guy get beat up? Why is that guy jailed? Why are people not listening to the gospel? Why is it there's so much resistance? Look, we're not going to be able to understand all of it, but one thing that we can do is we can just say, Lord, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. Turn to 1 Peter. Here's another part about the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I like how it's pretty... It's in English, folks. A lot of single-syllable words here, right? 4, verse 15. 1 Peter 2, 15. For so is the will of God. That's understandable English, right? We got that. He's telling us what the will of God is. That with well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know what that means? What the will of God is? Do what's right. Amen. When you know to do what's right and you don't do it, what does God call it? Sin. Look, when I know that I need to do something and I go, you know, I just don't feel like doing that today, I've sinned. He says, this is the will of God. He says, your sanctification is the will of God. He says, your thanksgiving is the will of God. And now he's saying, you doing right is the will of God. When's the last time we prayed about that? Lord, sanctify me to make me more holy. Because you said, be ye holy as I am holy. When's the last time that we prayed, Lord, help me to be more thankful? That one's kind of like the prayer for patience, right? We don't pray for patience. We are like, no, I think I'll just learn that lesson. No, you should pray for it. You're like, I don't want to. Pray for it. It means you need it. If you don't want to, pray for it, okay? The same with this. Lord, help me and show me where I'm not doing right. And Lord, work in my heart that I would do what is right. That I would do what is right. Take a look at the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 17. And this is one we don't like. We don't like it. Why? Because in verse 17 it says, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And you're like, wait, you just told me I was supposed to be doing well. And now you're telling me that I'm going to suffer for it and that's God's will? Uh-huh. I don't like that. How many of you like to suffer? How many of you would go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me an extra dose of suffering this week? How many of you think that you might have accidentally prayed that last week? Last week was weird. I don't know what to say. It was weird. It was weird at work. It was just weird. I mean, everything was weird. I was like, this is a weird week. I want this week to be done with. And here we are Sunday. Praise the Lord. But we don't sit there and pray for suffering. But look, if we go through the suffering, then it's the Lord's will. Maybe it is for refinement. Maybe it is for teach us something that we need to learn. Maybe it's to help purge out something in our life that we need to get rid of. Maybe it's a consequence of something that we need to learn. Don't ever do that again. But there it is. And when we pray and we start seeking this and we start asking the Lord, say, Lord, this is what I'm going to pray. And Lord, I'm going to pray according to your will. Thy will be done. This is what we're praying. And it's important. Why? Because the modern idea of prayer is that we're always going to be having a comfortable life. I mean, yeah, we'd all love to have a little more comfort in our life, but we're not all going to get that. Sometimes we're going to have some uncomfortableness. Sometimes we're going to have some things that just don't feel good, that aren't good, that lead us to Luke chapter 22, verse 42, not my will, but thy will be done. When we think about all of this, and I can continue to go on and on and on, and we know what we're, you know, when we start talking about praying, and then when God's answer is no, and we look at all of these things, but I want to bring it to this very simple summary when we start talking about praying according to God's will. And if you want, I could reduce it down to these four little questions. What has God already said to me? Am I doing it? When we start talking about James, which we'll eventually get to as we continue to look at this, and we realize that sometimes we pray the way we shouldn't pray, and we pray to heap it on our own lusts, as he says, what's my desire? What's my will? What's my desire in my will? I'm talking about Paul, when he prays three times and God says no. I'm looking at that going, I'm going to have to submit to his will. And here's one of the most important things. When we get an answer that says something that we may not necessarily like, want, or understand, will you trust him? We can't just casually pray, thy will be done, and not be willing to do that. We can't casually pray, thy will be done, and not be doing what his will already is. We can't pray, thy will be done, and have a different desire in our hearts that something's contrary to what his revealed will is in this book. We can't say thy will be done and then say, I object, your honor, when the answer comes back different. We can't say thy will be done if I'm not willing to trust him regardless of the answer. You know, comes out to, if you will, this practical biblical definition of what it means to pray according to his will, is that we pray according to his will to bring our desires into alignment with his revealed will from his word and submit to his wisdom. Submit to his sovereign purpose. Submit to him understanding when we don't. And it's kind of beautiful to see. We've talked about why we pray. We've talked about hindrances to prayer. And now we're getting into the meat of how we do this. And it is praying according to God's will. It's praying according to God's will. Be why? Because we first have to learn why we come to God. Because we first realize that we need to make sure that there's nothing that is in our way when we come to Him in prayer, to pray, Thy will be done. And now we look at our own hearts and we realize that it has to be in alignment with His. And next week we'll look at a couple more of these, but it comes down to this of, what is it I truly want? You know, there's a lot of things we may want. Somebody might want more money. Somebody might want a better job. Somebody might want a family dispute resolved. Somebody might want, a house. Somebody might want something else. Something along the lines. But when's the last time that we said, Lord, I want my want to be Your want? Lord, I want my will to be Your will. I don't want to try to make Your will mine. I'll tell you, your prayer life will change if you do that. Your prayer life will change when you stop saying, Lord, I want, I want, I want. And we start saying, Lord, what is it You want from me? And Lord, what is it I'm already not doing? Before I start saying, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Before I learn how to forgive trespassers. Before I do any of that, my heart has to be in alignment with God's will. With His will. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you know, I look out today and I see a lot of individuals that are believers. I see a lot of individuals that have heard Your testimonies. Some I've baptized. Some that have been in this church for a long time. But as we think about this for a moment, I want us to truly think about our prayer life. And truly ask ourselves, when's the last time we said, Lord, Thy will be done? Sometimes we kind of tack that on because we don't know how to pray. We pray for a beloved brother or sister that's going through something and we don't know the outcome. And, you know, sometimes we pray, Lord, okay, give the doctor's wisdom, give the family comfort. But Lord, you know, Your will. And I'm like, yeah. But I think we need to be praying for His will first. Even before we start praying for another person, our heart needs to be in alignment with Him. Believer, take a look at your prayer life this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time. Lord, I thank You again, Lord, for revealing to us in Your Word, Your will. Lord, how it reveals You. How it reveals everything You desire of us. How it reveals to us what our wants should be. Lord, it reveals to us how our hearts should be. It reveals to us how we should think. It reveals to us, Lord, how we live this life for You. Lord, I pray that as we think on this, as we contemplate Your will, that, Lord, You would shape our hearts, that You would mold our hearts, according to Your will. And Lord, we do pray, Thy will be done. I thank You again, Lord, for this, for teaching us, for loving us, for giving us salvation, for even giving us comfort by just trusting Your word, by trusting Your will, and by submitting to it in obedience. Lord, again, I thank You for all that You have done. And these things I ask and pray in Your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.